Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, January 20th, the pastor of the only Catholic church in Gaza recounts life following the ceasefire deal. During the week of prayer for Christian unity, the Pope meets with an ecumenical delegation from Finland. But first, the Pope sends Donald Trump a telegram on the morning of his presidential inauguration. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. On Monday, Donald J. Trump officially becomes the 47th president of the United States of America. And on the occasion of his inauguration, Pope Francis sent a telegram invoking divine blessings upon the United States, the president and his family, and prayed that God lead his efforts towards peace and reconciliation among peoples. Deborah Castellano-Luboff reports.
Donald J. Trump will be inaugurated as the 47th president of the United States of America on Monday at noon local time. The ceremony, traditionally held outside the U.S. Capitol, has been moved indoors due to a forecast of freezing temperatures with a wind chill of negative 13 degrees Celsius or 9 degrees Fahrenheit. Following the oath of office, Trump will address the nation. Later, he is expected to attend three inaugural balls in the evening. For the occasion, Pope Francis sent a telegram to the U.S. president, saying, "I ask God to guide your efforts in promoting peace and reconciliation among peoples. On the occasion of your inauguration as the 47th president of the United States," the Pope began, "I offer cordial greetings and the assurance of my prayers that Almighty God will grant you wisdom, strength, and protection in the exercise of your high duties. Inspired by your nation's ideals of being a land of opportunity and welcome for all, it is my hope," Pope Francis said, "that under your leadership, the American people will prosper and always strive to build a more just society where," the Pope noted, "there is no room for hatred, discrimination, or exclusion." At the same time, the Pope noted, "as our human family faces numerous challenges, not to mention the scourge of war, the Pope also asked God to guide his efforts in promoting peace and reconciliation." With these sentiments, the Holy Father concluded, "I invoke upon you, your family, and the beloved American people an abundance of divine blessings." I'm Deborah Castellano-Luboff.
In his last hours serving as the U.S. president, Joe Biden on Monday pardoned Dr. Anthony Fauci, retired General Mark Milley, and members of the House committee that investigated the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol. In an extraordinary use of the powers of the presidency to guard against potential revenge by the incoming Trump administration. The decision by Biden comes after Donald Trump warned of an enemies list filled with those who have crossed him politically or sought to hold him accountable for his attempt to overturn his 2020 election loss and his role in the storming of the U.S. Capitol in 2021. Trump has selected cabinet members who have pledged to punish those involved in efforts to investigate him. In a statement, Biden said the issuance of these pardons should not be mistaken as an acknowledgement that any individual engaged in any wrongdoing, nor should acceptance be misconstrued as an admission of guilt for any offense. And back in Rome, as part of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, Pope Francis received an ecumenical delegation from Finland in the Vatican on Monday. In his remarks, the Pope recalled that Christian hope in the Lord never disappoints and that Christians are to always persevere in prayer. Devin Watkins has more.
Hope in the Lord never disappoints, and we Christians are to persevere together in prayer. Pope Francis offered that reminder when receiving an ecumenical delegation from Finland on Monday, which traveled to Rome for the Feast of St. Henrik. The ecumenical group typically visits the Holy Father annually on the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. In this holy year of 2025, the Pope observed, "We are journeying together as pilgrims of hope." On our journey of faith, he continued, "we are confirmed by the words of the letter to the Hebrews. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." Pope Francis recalled that St. Henrik is an enduring icon of this hope, which has its sure and enduring foundation in God. As a messenger of peace, the Holy Father said, he exhorts us to persevere in praying for the precious yet fragile gift of peace. Reflecting on Christian faith in the Lord and stressing the importance of praying together for peace, Pope Francis recalled that Jesus Christ himself is truth incarnate, our Lord and our Savior, and that we are to welcome his love for us. The Pope insisted that hope in the Lord never disappoints. For neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, the Pope recalled with Scripture, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Testifying to this incarnate love, he said, is our ecumenical vocation in the communion of all the baptized. Pope Francis concluded by inviting those present to join him in praying the Lord's Prayer together, thanking them for their visit, and imparting upon them God's blessing. I'm Devin Watkins.
The Pope's audiences continued on Monday when he received the superiors, students, and alumni of the Diocesan Seminary of Rome, the Almo Collegio Capranica, on the eve of the feast day of their patroness, St. Agnes. The Almo Collegio is the oldest Roman college, and for over five centuries has formed seminarians from Rome, all of Italy, and from dioceses around the world. In his address, Pope Francis urged the group to ground their future ministry in a close relationship with God, the people, and with a charity directed towards the poor. Lisa Zingarini tells us more in this report.
Welcoming some 60 seminarians, deacons, and priests in the Clementine Hall, Pope Francis noted that the diversity of students attending the Almo Collegio Capranica embodies the universal and multifaceted nature of the people of God, recalling that the name attributed to the college means that which nourishes in ancient Italian, and referencing a passage from Dante Alighieri's Divine Comedy, the Pope likened the Roman seminary to a nourishing environment that sustains spiritual growth, provided its students remain focused and do not stray from their vocation. Central to his reflection was the need for priests and seminarians to maintain four essential relationships with God, the bishop, the people, and among themselves. These relationships, he stressed, ensure ministers do not wander aimlessly in their journey of faith. The Pope also urged them to fully embrace synodality in their formation, heeding the recent synod's call for a more participatory and missionary church attuned to the needs of all. The Pope further called on them to show the same closeness to the people they minister in the liturgy, because he said, there is no Christian liturgy if the gestures we perform are not matched by a life of faith, hope, and charity. In this regard, the Pope commended their pastoral work, including assisting people in need, which serves as a concrete expression of Christian love. This service to the poor and the marginalized helps avoid losing sight of their mission, he said, emphasizing the importance of a personal relationship with the poor, in whom Jesus is present. Bringing his address to a close, Pope Francis invoked the intercession of Mary, Salus Populi Romani, the protectress of the Roman people, and of Saint Agnes, their patron saint. I am Lisa Zingarini.
Father Gabriel Romanelli, the parish priest of the only Catholic church in Gaza, regularly speaks to Pope Francis, keeping him updated on the situation on the ground there. Speaking to Vatican Radio, he described the atmosphere in Gaza as the ceasefire between Hamas and Israel comes into effect. Joseph Tulloch reports.
The hours immediately after the ceasefire between Hamas and Israel took effect, Father Gabriel Romanelli, the parish priest of the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza, spoke to Vatican Radio about the situation after more than 15 months of conflict. Father Romanelli explained that the beginning of the ceasefire did not mean immediate peace. There was still gunfire and bombings, he said. There was a delay in the release of the hostage names. But, the priest said, people are now beginning to believe that there is real hope for the future. People are beginning to think and live again, he said. He did note, however, that in spite of the ceasefire deal, many of his parishioners are unable to return to their homes, as access to parts of Gaza is still restricted to military personnel. After 15 months of violence, Father Romanelli said that many people have very simple wishes, such as going to the sea and swimming in it. The parish priest stressed that humanitarian aid is essential. All of the infrastructure in Gaza has truly been destroyed, he said. In addition to food, the people in Gaza are in need of clean water and diesel for generators and electricity. Father Romanelli painted a picture of the dire situation for the 2.3 million people living in Gaza. During the conflict, he said, there were days when nothing got through. He expressed his hope that the international community might provide aid to people in the Gaza Strip. Since the war began in October 2023, Pope Francis has made a habit of calling Father Romanelli every evening to check in. Every day, the Pope gives his blessing to the people of the parish and the people of Gaza in general. Father Romanelli said that in this way, the Pope has become one of us. He's become one of our community, indeed one of our parishioners. I'm Joseph Tullock.
And all around Gaza, there is an ongoing need for aid. The chief of the International Rescue Committee, David Miliband, said the flow of aid to Gaza could take time to ramp up as relief trucks conducted a second day of deliveries following the start of the ceasefire. The deal requires 600 truckloads of aid to be allowed into Gaza every day of the initial six-week ceasefire, including 50 carrying fuel. Miliband called it a big step up, but he fears it will take time, and he wants to try to ramp it up as quickly as possible. He said the IRC in Gaza is focused primarily on water and sanitation, child protection, and other health care. And in other news, Myanmar's military government and a major ethnic rebel group in the country's northeast have signed a formal ceasefire agreement, mediator China said on Monday. The ceasefire between the military and the Myanmar National Democratic Alliance Army, which seized large tracts of territory along the border with China, is the second such pact in a little over a year and came into effect on Saturday. A previous pact in January last year was not honored by either side. The new ceasefire was brokered by China in mid-January, a spokesperson for the foreign ministry said. And finally, here in Rome, we're preparing for the Jubilee for Communicators, which will be taking place this weekend. It'll be an opportunity for journalists, writers, and communication professionals to reflect on the theme of the 2025 Jubilee, that is, hope. In preparation for the event, Vatican Radio spoke to American author Phil Clay, a U.S. Marine veteran and novelist whose work focuses on the subject of modern welfare and warfare. He asked the writer about whether there are reasons for hope given the global rise in armed conflict.
There are always reasons for hope and always reasons for despair. And there is really no time in history where you can't point to mass atrocity and horror. And in many ways, we're in a better place, than we have been in centuries past in terms of that regard. But nonetheless, there are always people encountering the extremes of suffering and evil, right? And one of the questions for me is, what do people need at those times of extremity, right? I think there's a Vietnam veteran who argued that it's not true that there are no atheists in foxholes, but rather that the experience of war often forces a moment of choosing for people. People either have to decide they must believe in the God who has taken them through such terrible things, or they cannot believe in a God who would allow such things. I have always found that there is a current within Catholicism that is very attuned to the kind of moments of extreme pain, of extreme horror, of confrontation with a universe that does not always bend to your prayers, right? And, I find something very kind of powerful and beautiful about that.
That was American author and U.S. Marine veteran Phil Clay speaking there to Vatican Radio about the upcoming Jubilee for Communicators. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal. Many thanks this evening go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.